KAXE is turning 50. 50 years of connecting our northern Minnesota communities with music, news, local stories, and books. What We're Reading rolled out in 2015, following Heidi Holton's footsteps with Real Good Words, which started around 2001. And don't forget, Pine River librarian Marlis O'Brien could be heard on the airwaves before that. Clearly, Book Talk has been an important part of KAXE through the decades. To celebrate KAXE's 50th, I dug into the archives of What We're Reading for some of my favorite interviews, not realizing how impossible this would be. I've interviewed hundreds of writers and book people, and I have gotten something special from each conversation, whether nationally renowned authors or writers from our own backyard. From humor and comfort and kinship to insight, curiosity, and wonder. In short, all the things that make us human. One of my favorite things to hear authors talk about is what they think of this place we live, what they think of Minnesota. We'll hear why Minnesota writer Jess Laurie loves to set her books in our state, but first, writer John Green, whose 2021 book, The Anthropocene Reviewed, has him reviewing various aspects of our lives, so I asked him to review a couple of our Minnesota icons. All right, I'm going to get a little regional here. The Mississippi River.
Oh, it's an absolute unambiguous five-star river for me. I'm a huge fan of rivers. I write a lot about the White River here in Indianapolis when in the book because it's so important to me. And in general, rivers are so important to me. And the Mississippi River is the great American river. It is, I think, the world's best river. It is certainly America's best river, 5 stars.
Excellent. Our last item is, since you've mentioned you've been to Bemidji earlier before we started the interview. So how would you rate our famous statue, Paul Bunyan and Babe the Blue Ox?
I have seen Paul Bunyan and Babe the Blue Ox. I think it's like an above average version of itself. So I've seen a lot of like large statues in my life because I used to be a huge fan of roadside attractions, and I traveled much of the country, like saw the world's largest ball of twine in Darwin, Minnesota. I've seen a lot of these like oversized things. 4 stars.
All right, that's respectable.
I'll tell you, Indianapolis doesn't have anything approaching a 4-star sculpture. So I'm envious.
You would think that I would want to set a book somewhere else, but I actually am working right now on a young adult series, and I literally was allowed to set that book anywhere. It could be in a different planet, it could be in a different era, and I put it in Minnesota, and there is something that keeps bringing me back. And I think part of it is it's the geography and the climate is so diverse that it becomes its own character. If you've lived in Minnesota for a minute, you know that you will be in conflict with the weather, right? At some point, there will be weather that you will be fighting with. And it just makes for a really delicious population, right? The people here are very unique, but also just a really delicious geography and tension that I don't think I could get anywhere else.
I also love to hear where writers get their inspiration from, whether it's the spark that ignited a story or what influences their craft of writing. Here are some excerpts from Anthony Doerr on how librarians were an inspiration for his book, Cloud Cuckoo Land. Nigerian author Abby Dare on what writing means to her, followed by writer Byron Graves.
And so it was only when I grew up that I realized, oh, libraries aren't just here like leaves on trees. Human beings have built them and funded them and kept them full of the accumulation of human wisdom. And so I just wanted to say to the reader, like, let's defamiliarize libraries for a minute in this book together and appreciate what they are and what they can do for us. I mean, not only do they contain as much as they can, this collection of centuries of human wisdom, they're also the last indoor spaces in public that people can go, especially in a place like Minnesota where it's cold in the winter. Your public library is one of the last places you can go use the bathroom, use the internet, apply for jobs. It's so important to remember how many Americans still don't have regular access to the internet. So libraries are really lifelines to people, and librarians are the people who keep them going. So I just think if there's anything I can do to thank them, just by dedicating the book and making them, of course, kind of their own heroes in the novel. That was easy. That's an easy decision.
The written word is so powerful to me. It's my way of conveying my feelings and emotions and everything I've not been able to say with my voice speaking out, I can in words. So growing up, I used to journal a lot, and I used to write letters to my mother. My mother and I were quite close. I'm still quite close. And she traveled quite often for work, quite extensively. And so every time she was going away, I would journal and write things that had happened so that when she got back, I would give her the letter. And then when we moved into email, I started to email as well. And then when I left Nigeria, I used to write. I had a blog that is no longer functioning. So I used to document my feelings and emotions about being an immigrant in England, understanding the culture, missing home. So documenting all of that. And then that gravitated into fiction because I realized that I love storytelling. I used to write plays in secondary school, and I used to direct plays in my own little way. So that gravitated into storytelling, fiction, writing short stories. And really, so the power of writing to me, it's therapeutic. It's powerful. It's transformative. And it's something I couldn't imagine my life without. I'm very grateful for it.
But as I was working on this book, and I was obviously away from my reservation and in a city and didn't really know a lot of people, I was kind of an isolated, like solitary road I was on as I was like learning how to write and getting rejected by publishers or agents and writing another book because the last one didn't work and pushing myself to get better at writing. What was with me that whole time was that I wanted to show the youth on my reservation that things are possible. Like, you can go and get a publishing deal. You can become whatever you want to be. I hate even limiting it to something in the arts. Like, if you want to go get a trade craft, if you want to go to college, whatever it is, it's possible and you can do it. And it might not happen right away. And you might have to like fail a few times. You might have to give up and start again. But that was what was a driving force for me on those lonely nights, on those long nights when I wanted to quit. It was always like, it was more so for the youth. I wanted to show an 8-year-old, a 10-year-old. I wanted to give them a book where they could see their community and themselves. And that's what I think drove me the rest of the way. It was that carrying me.
That was Byron Graves, an author originally from the Red Lake Nation, who talked to us in 2023 about his book, Res Ball. Aside from hearing authors talk about their books and their craft, I absolutely love to talk with people about why they love to read and why reading is so important. This feeds my soul and gives me resolve to keep encouraging people of all ages to read. Here's some snippets of conversation from Bemidji novelist Will Weaver, children's librarian Tracy Campa, and a very special reader, Ev.
We want, I think we could all agree, better men in the world, better leaders, politicians, and so on. And to get those, we need better boys. And better boys are the ones who read.
I think overarching everything, books themselves matter. Books engage. Books can heal. Books teach. Books provide refuge. Books matter because kids need them, and kids really matter.
How many books do you think you own?
Hundreds.
Where do you get your books from?
Book fairs at school and bookstores.
Do you go to the library?
Yes.
Do you keep all the books that you've ever gotten?
Yes.
Do you reread any of them?
The Land of Story series, I've read it 4 times, and I've read the Percy Jackson series a couple times. Most of my favorite books I reread.
Me too. What is your favorite thing about reading a book?
That you get kind of caught up in the book and the land that it's taking place in.
Ev was 12 years old at the time of that conversation, and I'm told that she will be graduating college this spring, a year early. I'd like to think that all of that reading helped. Happy birthday, KAXE, and thank you, our listeners, and especially our members, for making all of this possible and being a part of this amazing community. Here's to many more years of music, news, conversation, learning, and of course, books. For What We're Reading, I'm Tammy Bobrowski.